What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome to Business on the Brink, a production from iHeartRadio and How Stuff Works. It's 1996, and you're about to jet off to a city on the other side of the country.
But how are you going to spend all that valuable time on a plane with no personal entertainment services?
And how do you handle the in-flight jitters? What can soothe your consumerist mind?
How about you indulge in some retail therapy? This is SkyMall on Business on the Brink.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Ariel Kasten.
This episode was another listener request from Al Kahn.
Yes, thank you for that.
And before we get into this, I am someone who has traveled extensively by aeroplane.
I have traveled occasionally by aeroplane.
And I can tell you that many an aeroplane trip that I have taken was spent perusing the various odd and assorted weirdness of SkyMall magazine.
Did that magazine include a dictionary that told you to pronounce the word aeroplane as aeroplane?
It did not. I mean, maybe. I mean, who knows? The stuff in SkyMall magazine became famous for how weird it got. That's not how it all started off, so we will tell the story of SkyMall magazine. I also want to say, before we get into this, I knew about SkyMall magazine, mm-hmm. and I just assumed that SkyMall magazine kind of went away because of lots of very obvious reasons, right? Like you had the rise of entertainment systems on planes. You had the ability to use your electronic devices on planes that was instated later on.
You have internet ordering.
Yeah, you had competitors like Amazon coming up. And yes, all of that will play a very large part in this story. Spoiler alert. But there's also some crazy shady business stuff that ended up playing a very large factor that I was completely unaware of until we did this.
Should it have been called SlyMall?
Well, I would suggest that SkyMall was not the one at fault here, but rather a different company. But that is putting the cart before the plane.
Horde. Oh.
All right. So anyone who traveled a lot, especially in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, is probably familiar with SkyMall. So mm-hmm. it's called a magazine, but most of us probably thought of it as a catalog. But it was a catalog of stuff largely from other companies. And there are a lot of jokes about this magazine, and there's even a song about it.
Yes, by Jonathan Colton, who is an artist both Jonathan and I like a lot.
Yeah, Ariel, you like Jonathan Colton a lot. I remember that you got proposed to right in front of him.
Yes, as my husband sang our song, which is one of his songs, on the second Jonathan Colton cruise. We were also on the first one. Fun time, you guys. That's beside the point.
Yeah, I've never been on the Joko cruise, but I do appreciate that. So yes, Jonathan Colton has a song that really is dedicated to how strange, bizarre, and in some ways wonderful this magazine was, although it does start with the lie, O'Hare is nice this time of year. We all know O'Hare is never nice.
I've never been to O'Hare.
Oh gosh, I've flown through it a few times. That's mostly Jonathan's biased opinion there. But after that line, it really picks up. So here's the thing, is that SkyMall could have gone away before it ever even really got going because of the initial business model that was the underpinning of the company. It was one that we can say pretty effectively did not work. But here we go. So it all starts with a guy named Robert Worsley. He was one of the founders and is frequently cited as the main founder of the company. And he came up with the idea for SkyMall. And if the name Robert Worsley sounds familiar, you may be someone who lives in Arizona because he serves in the state Senate in Arizona. In fact, his term is up at the end of 2019.
But before that, he was a public accountant, right?
Yes. He was a public accountant with Price Waterhouse, and he was coming up with this idea about what if you had a catalog that you could find on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the catalog had all these sorts of different things that a traveler might want. Mm-hmm. It was less novel stuff back then. So, you know, like you weren't going to find a Bigfoot statue.
Oh,
or,
but that's the best stuff.
Or like the butler wine holder that where it looks like the butler's drinking a bottle of wine.
That's the best.
Yeah, but none of that was really in it then. It was more like luggage and belts and ties and that kind of stuff. And the idea was that you would actually order that while you were on the plane.
I mean, that kind of makes sense because if you forgot to pack a tie or a belt or you broke your suitcase en route,
you might want to have a quick replacement ready and available. And so, yeah, that was sort of the concept. And the idea was that the would-be customer would use an airphone, which in the old days was a phone. It was in the back of the passenger seat ahead of you. Sometimes there's only one per row.
So like a car phone.
Kind of like a car phone. And you would swipe a credit card in order to be able to use it. And you would pay an exorbitant amount of money for a very short phone call.
That sounds like a fantastic deal to me.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind that this is also a time where air travel, I mean, it wasn't like it was uncommon. But this was a time where people tended to dress up on planes and stuff still. Like it wasn't quite. It was making the transition into what air travel is today, but it was still a fairly expensive method of getting around.
I mean, air travel, if you are not married to somebody in the air travel business, is still pretty expensive.
Is it? I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, side note, I still like dressing up to get on an airplane. I think it's classy.
It's shorts and thong for me. And by thongs, I mean flip-flops.
Thank goodness.
No, we all thank goodness. So the idea was that you would use the airphone to actually place the order for whatever it was you wanted in the catalog. And then on the ground, in a warehouse near whatever destination airport you were flying to, there would be all the different items in the catalog, and someone from the SkyMall company would pack up your order, rush it over to the airport, and you would be greeted on the ground with whatever it was you ordered. So you would have your delivery upon arriving at your destination. That was the business model plan. And I think anyone with a little, you know, skepticism or thought might have a few concerns about that plan.
Yeah, but you know who didn't have a few concerns about that plan?
Well, Graham Alcock, Alan Lobuck, and Matthew DelBianco didn't because they were the other co-founders.
Yeah, they said, cool, let's do this.
Yeah, so they established it in 1990 or maybe 1989. There's some disagreement on dates. I assume that what happened was Worsley came up with the idea in 89, and then they were officially incorporated in 90.
Yeah.
But the original plan was that they were going to try and carry stuff from very, very recognizable brands.
Like Lands End.
Yeah, exactly. Like things that people would know. They'd be, you know, confident that the quality was going to match their expectation rather than I'll just buy a tie from this thing that I have no idea where it came from.
From the newsstand in the airport that says, we love Atlanta.
Yeah, this was a little better than that. And so the idea was that you would then sell these things at a healthy markup because obviously you need to make a profit, right? So you would buy the stuff at wholesale from wherever the, you know, whatever the manufacturer was, and you would sell it for a decent markup to make a profit.
Making expensive things more expensive.
Yes. But as you would imagine, establishing warehouses near airports and then staffing them and then filling them with inventory and not knowing which pieces of inventory are going to be popular for any given warehouse.
Yeah. I mean, what if you order five ties and you have six people who want a tie and then you don't have a tie at the warehouse that they're landing at? You know, how do you know five people in Chicago are going to want a tie?
What if you order 300 ties and nobody ever orders a tie for the airport that it's close to?
Yeah, that's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Just even keeping track of what stock is in which warehouse, that alone was a real challenge. But yeah, you there was no way to predict which products were going to be in demand because it was all dependent upon who was traveling where, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't even say, like, if you're the owner of a retail business and it's a chain and you're looking at a chain across regions, you can draw general conclusions. You can say, oh, in the Southeast region, we see that X, Y, and Z products are really popular, but A, B, and C aren't. So we won't worry about those. But in the Midwest, A, B, and C are really popular. But you can't do that with a business like this because you're not looking at a region of a population. You're looking at people who are traveling to that destination.
Well, and like you can order duty-free stuff on a plane a lot of times if you travel overseas.
Yeah.
But that's stuff that's already available for other people in the airport. It's not things outside of airport goods.
Yeah, that has to be brought over. And of course, obviously, this is also before 9/11 in the United States, where it was also possible to meet people at the gate without having a ticket to things. So these challenges beyond the 9/11 thing, because this, again, is a decade before that, these challenges meant that that business model hit a real rocky start. And even by 1993, when the business was only a few years old, it was losing $6 million per year.
Egads.
Yeah. So this could have been the end of the company right there. They could have just said, like, wow, we're never, you know, we're just going to have to keep raising funding, like do finance rounds to stay in business. And you can only do that so long before your investors say,
bye-bye.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we have to change our business. So they decided they had to change the way the company operated. And from what I've read, this was not a unanimous decision among the founders. Like, but, there was arguments.
But a good one.
It was a good one, yes. So they decided instead of being a company that would run its own warehouses and maintain its own stock, they would rather publish a magazine and then they would charge other companies to advertise their goods in that magazine. So essentially, it was a magazine completely made up of ads. There were two different types of advertisements that you could get, and there were different sizes. Like you could get a quarter of a page, you could do a half page, you could do a full page. But they said this way, we will charge companies to advertise their stuff. We won't have to carry all that overhead.
I've worked for a couple theater companies where I've had to do the ad generation for the programs. Ad space is pretty expensive.
Yeah. As it would turn out, SkyMall space would be really expensive. So in the Atlantic had an article about SkyMall, and they said that in 2013, a full page SkyMall magazine presence, if you were doing an advertisement, was $42,900 per month.
Yipes.
And SkyMall came out quarterly, which meant that an issue would last 3 months. So at minimum, you would have to spend 3 months worth of that full page ad in order to get one issue of SkyMall. So you're looking at a full page advertisement for one edition of SkyMall magazine could set you back $130,000 just about.
Golly, you got to have a lot of distribution for that. But they also changed how they delivered product, right?
Yes, because now they were no longer the ones responsible for getting the product to the customer. They were facilitating the transaction. So it was the company that was behind whatever the product was. It was their responsibility to ship the product to the customer. So also it wouldn't get to you when you landed anymore. It would be shipped to whatever address you gave when you ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big difference too. And this, again, removed a lot of the cost of doing business off of SkyMall, which certainly helped it make money. This was like a sea change when it comes to the way the company was doing business.
Yeah. Well, they had another sea change.
Yes.
In their C-suite executives. Do you like what I did there? You don't. You're making a face at me, Jonathan.
That was great. Pray continue, Ariel.
So The Atlantic had an article, mm-hmm. or in the same article, which was titled The Strange Story of America's Most Delightfully Weird Catalog.
Yeah, it's a great article, by the way.
It quoted Christine Aguilera.
Yeah, I was so disappointed because when I first read that, I said, what? And then I realized, oh, wait, it's Christine Aguilera, not Christina Aguilera. So I was very sad because I was fully expecting to have Genie in a Bottle play through this entire episode.
She was a former president of SkyMall, and hence the joke about C-suite changes.
Yeah, she would become the president after Worsley. We'll get to that in a second.
She said that on average, every week, SkyMall would field about 100 requests to feature stuff in the publication.
Yeah, so there was no shortage of companies that wanted to get their information in the magazine. And it's understandable because one of the very savvy things the company did was it established these contracts with various airlines to be carried on those airlines. And they had an incredible penetration. It was like 88% of people traveling on planes in the United States were traveling on planes that were carrying SkyMall magazine.
Wow.
So yeah, nearly 90% of all air travelers. So it didn't matter if you were on Delta or United or Southwest or American Airlines, they all had SkyMall. So those eyeballs were going to that magazine. Because again, this was also before you could have first of all, it was before smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
So no one had a smartphone to begin with, and no one had e-readers or anything
that. You could bring like a paperback on the plane
with
you.
But there were so many times where you would get onto the plane and then you think, oh, I forgot a book, or oh, my book is in my checked luggage.
Yeah.
You know, and you would realize you didn't have anything. So you would just, you know, you'd root around for whatever you could read, and SkyMall was always there.
Well, plus they always tell you to check out the literature in the seat pocket in front of you.
Yeah. So yeah, once you had really gone over the emergency procedures, then you could graduate up to SkyMall. But things were going well at the time because now they had this massive change in the way they did business. But soon a sequence of changes in ownership would create a massive brink moment for SkyMall.
But first, we're going to take a quick break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Okay, so Ariel, you know how we sometimes cover companies that end up having very confusing ownership stories just because the industry they're in ends up being incredibly incestuous?
Yeah, like
beer.
Beer or fast food.
Yeah, the beer and fast food companies in particular, those are ones that are really complicated. Well, SkyMall is also complicated, and it's made more so because for most of its existence, it was a private company. Mm-hmm. And as a private company, it kept a much lower profile. You know, it didn't have to file the same information you would if you were a publicly traded company. And so unless you were really paying attention to the industry, changes in ownership probably wouldn't really, you know, to use an airline quote, fall on your radar, because the magazine was still in pockets on airplane seats, no matter who the owner was.
Yeah, I don't usually look at the publisher of the magazine I'm reading.
And even if you did, it would still say SkyMall.
Just
was – all right, so we're going to try and talk about the changes in ownership. So pay attention, because this is like a game of three-card Monty. You got to find the little lady as I'm flipping the cards around. So for the first decade or so of its existence, SkyMall was its own private company, right? Worsley's company, essentially. And after that rocky start, it turned into a profitable business once it changed from being a retail-type company to a publishing company and an advertising company. In fact, you could argue that its business turned it into something akin to Google. Like, Google's not really a search engine company, you think of it as, but it's really an advertising company.
Well, and I was going to say, where you're talking about incestuous genres of company, I was like, how many airline magazines are there other than SkyMall and Delta?
Well, how many other airlines have you flown? So there are other airlines that do have their own in-house magazines, but SkyMall was the one that was across all of them. And so they established an online store not too long after that started becoming a thing.
Makes sense.
It took a little while, but yeah. And, you know, they're operating things pretty regularly. And then in 2001, we get our first change in ownership, a company called Gemstar TV Guide. Not TV Guide, but Gemstar TV Guide acquired SkyMall. And Gemstar TV Guide, according to a helpful press release, was, quote, a leading media and technology company that develops, licenses, markets, and distributes technologies, products, and services targeted at the television guidance and home entertainment needs of consumers worldwide, end quote.
It sounds like a whole bunch of buzz talk.
Oh, we're just getting started, Ariel. But yeah, they made like interactive TV menus.
Okay,
and
so
stuff.
They actually made something legit.
Yeah, like, you know, how a lot of televisions you would hit the menu button and the little guide would pop up. They made stuff like that.
I have cable. I understand.
Okay. Well,
I might be one of the few people.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I turned my television on. So, Robert Worsley was deciding he was deciding to retire at this point. He had made a fortune off this. And so then Christine Aguilera at this point becomes the president.
I'm a genie in a SkyMall,
yeah,
baby.
Still not genie in a bottle, Christina Aguilera, but in my heart, she always will be. So she ends up becoming the president for the in-flight business of SkyMall. Now, that's going to be important a little bit later because there'd be another division within SkyMall that would become increasingly important over the years. But everyone thinks of the in-flight business of SkyMall because that was the public-facing part, mm-hmm. right? That was the magazine that we all were familiar with. And then Gemstar TV Guide itself would end up eventually going out of business in 2008. But between its purchase of SkyMall and when Gemstar went bye-bye, it would actually sell SkyMall. This happened in 2005.
So SkyMall wasn't a part of their downfall.
No. Gemstar was already, like, they had actually said that they were selling off SkyMall because it didn't align with their other business, their other business strategies. They said, well, this is kind of outside of what we want to focus on. And then what they focused on ended up not saving them.
I wonder if they had a change of management that made that call.
Well, that'll have to be a future episode.
Different story,
of The Brink, right? So a company called Spire Capital Partners, along with Zelnick Media Corporation and Greenspun Media Group together, bought SkyMall for $52 million, and Aguilera would continue her bottle days as president. She stayed in that role. This is also kind of interesting because we're going to see multiple changes in ownership and not changes in leadership, which is—
That's not usual.
It's atypical.
Yeah.
But it also meant that at least the parts of the SkyMall business would remain constant despite changes in ownership. Yeah.
So the next change of management happened in 2012 when they sold to Najafi Companies.
Yes. So this was an investment firm, a private investment firm named after the founder of Najafi Companies. And this was through a subsidiary of Najafi Companies. Here's where it gets even more complicated. The subsidiary was Direct Brands, and it was specifically done through an affiliate of Direct Brands called Bookspan.
I get it. Books, magazine, span, yeah. Flying. Yeah.
And I would love to tell you how much this transaction was, but it was an undisclosed sum.
I'm going to say $5.
Okay, for five smackaroos. And Aguilera would remain as president. So Najafi Companies also owned a couple of other direct-to-consumer brands. That's what SkyMall was kind of considered to mm-hmm. be, as, you know, advertising direct to consumers. So the Book of the Month Club was a Najafi Company's property.
It seems in line with their product.
Yeah. This is all kind of following the same strategy. And in 2013, Najafi Companies announced that Kevin Weiss, who had previously led a self-publishing company called Author Solutions, would be the new CEO of SkyMall. And Aguilera was still a president, but she was president of the in-flight businesses. And by this time, there was another division. It was the loyalty program division, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
All right.
But now, to get to the truly weird part. So we just had all those different changes in management. And almost all those are changes in ownership. Almost all of those owners were private equity companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like private equity company selling to a different private equity company that would sell to a different private equity company over and over and over again.
With companies that made things that were trying to make SkyMall fit into their brand.
Yeah. And so then we get Exhibit Corporation. And they acquired SkyMall in May 2013. And this is amazing because we have Christine Aguilera and Exhibit. Although it's not spelled the same way as Exhibit the rapper. It is spelled differently from the word Exhibit.
I was going to say, neither the rapper nor the Exhibit Corporation are spelled correctly.
Well, I would argue the rapper's name is spelled exactly the way he wants it. But yes, Exhibit Corporation is spelled X-H-I-B-I-T. And I can't tell you how many times I had to correct myself from spelling it like the rapper's name, which of course is X-Z. Yeah, I kept on spelling it as the rapper's name as opposed to the corporation's name.
Okay, so tell me about this really complicated story of Exhibit, because you can tell it way better than I can.
All right, this is bonkers.
I'm ready.
This is what started to make my head buzz when I was researching this episode. So here's how it described itself in the press release that it issued when it merged with SkyMall, because that is what happened. It was actually a merger, not an acquisition.
All right.
Exhibit Corporation is a cloud-based marketing and technology development company focused on digital advertising, mobile and social media development, and CRM, customer relationship management solutions. Exhibit offers a total solution for digital advertising and marketing that is integrated throughout its divisions and shares technology and resources across all of its services. Through its subsidiaries, Exhibit utilizes its branded products and services to provide digital marketing and advertising solutions for top-tier advertisers and agency clients.
It sounds like they just said the the same thing in three different sentences, three different ways.
Yeah. And by the way, newsflash, according to everything I read, it didn't do any of those things at all.
It didn't do anything at all.
Well, it apparently brought in some revenue by selling some weird new agey food supplements and stuff.
And colon cleansers you have here.
Yep. Colon cleanser. Yep. Yeah. In case your semicolon is dirty. It's a colon cleanser. Yeah. No, that was the thing, was that it was not, from what I could tell, doing any sort of business in the cloud sphere or in advertising or in marketing, apart from selling weight loss supplements and stuff like that, which is truly weird. And on top of that, to make this even more complicated, before they merged with SkyMall, they had done a different merger in June 2012 where the Exhibit Corporation spent $350,000 to purchase another company. This company was called NB Manufacturing, which makes it sound like it's a manufacturing company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe it makes the colon cleansers.
It doesn't make anything. It was a shell company.
Oh.
So shell companies are used for – usually as a holding space for financial transactions. And we could do a whole episode on what shell companies are, and maybe at some point we should, mm-hmm. because it's a pretty confusing concept for people who
are – And not shell gasoline.
Yeah, not the shell company, but shell companies. And so this shell company was a publicly traded company. And this was what you would call a reverse merger or reverse takeover, because what Exhibit Corporation did was they buy NB Manufacturing, then they reorganize so that NB Manufacturing is technically the parent company of Exhibit Corporation, which effectively makes Exhibit Corporation a publicly traded company. So they went from private to publicly traded without having to have an initial public offering.
That sounds very questionable to me.
And the SEC would agree with you. It is something that a lot of investors and the SEC say be on the lookout for. It's not technically illegal, but it is very questionable. And beyond that, Exhibit already had a pretty bad reputation, and this particular move made that reputation even more questionable. Seeking Alpha, a website called Seeking Alpha with a journalist named Isaac Silberman, he's sort of a financial analyst, looked into this. And Silberman raised a big warning flag about Exhibit Corporation and said that it looked like it was a pump and dump type of company.
So a pump and dump scheme, for those who don't know, is when somebody or a group of somebodies gets hold of a lot of cheap stock and then through various efforts, usually involving misrepresentations of the truth, pumps the value of the stocks up before selling them off.
Yep. If you've seen Wolf of Wall Street, it's Wolf of Wall Street. It's where you're like, I can get stocks for pennies, and then if I can convince people that the company is about to make a big move, the stock's value will go up because people will think that the company's more valuable. Then I offload it, and then it's off to Rio de Janeiro.
Woo. Well, Exhibit was saying that their stock was around $40 million or so.
Well, that's because they printed it like crazy when they took over and became a publicly traded company. So yeah, on paper, it was worth $40 million. And then eventually its value was valuing itself really by the stocks that it printed at $300 million. But this was a value that it couldn't support with any anything. It wasn't based on anything. It was all just dream money.
Yeah. Well, the CFO of Exhibit, Michael Shifsky, was involved with a lot of kind of bad
penny stocks.
Penny stocks.
So he had a reputation for already being involved in this kind of pump and dump sort of world, if not in a direct scheme, certainly within that same realm. And this would be the company that would merge with SkyMall in 2013. And in less than 2 years, the magazine would be in bankruptcy.
Jonathan, what the heck happened?
Well, Ariel, I'll tell you, but I need a sip of water, so let's take a quick break.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All right, so Sky Mall sounds like it's been a bit of a joke, right? Mm-hmm. For years, it had included listings for all sorts of weird, I'd say cool, some people would say odd, whimsical, somewhat useless and very expensive goods.
Yep.
You have a note here that says, "Who needs a Yeti in their garden?" I do, Jonathan. But that's beside the point.
Okay. I think technically they call it a Bigfoot statue, but I always think of it as the Yeti in the garden.
Either way, I need one. But regardless of that, and what being what they're known for, in January 2015, news broke that they were going bankrupt.
Yeah.
They were filing for bankruptcy protection.
Now. That is the way a lot of news outlets reported it. But then if you read the articles, you would see in every single case that what was actually happening was the parent company, Exhibit Corporation, was the one that was declaring bankruptcy. And so Sky Mall belonged to Exhibit Corporation, but it was a bigger story than just Sky Mall going bankrupt. And so what was going on? Well, let's roll back the clock a little bit. 2013, when that merger happened with mm-hmm. Exhibit Corporation— things were already going poorly for Sky Mall for the reasons that we mentioned at the top of the show. You know, you had a lot of things competing for passengers' attention. You had a lot of competitors entering into the space like Amazon and eBay. So there were a lot of things that were contributing to Sky Mall's decline.
And in financial loss.
Exactly. So in 2013, Sky Mall reported that it had made $33.7 million in sales, and that the magazine had lost $3.2 million that year. So it was overall a loss, even though it had $33.7 million in sales. That was a significant drop from the height mm-hmm. of its performance. At its height, I think it made $130 million in sales. So it had dropped precipitously.
Now, did this include the loyalty program you had talked about earlier?
It did not. The loyalty program, which was – it was essentially that Sky Mall was handling the loyalty program for some big, big companies, where if you use the big company's services, you would get loyalty points that you could then return for different goods or gift cards or whatever. Sky Mall was handling those transactions. So this was a separate part of their business, a different division. So that one was bringing in $49 million in 2013. So they made – the loyalty program made more money than the magazine program in 2013. And the loyalty program, however, was dependent primarily on three clients: Capital One, Caesars Entertainment, and Marriott Rewards. And if your business is dependent on just three clients, that's a big problem, because if mm-hmm. any one of those three goes—
drops, that's a third of your revenue.
Yeah, exactly. So this was, while it was bringing in more money than the magazine, It was also scary because you couldn't predict that that was going to be steady year to year.
Well, and it scared Exhibit because they sold off that division in 2014.
Yep. They sold it for $24 million. So the year earlier, it brought in more than twice that amount. It brought in $49 million, and then they sell it off the next year for $24 million. They did that, by the way, because they had an outstanding $15 million loan from Najafi, actually, that they needed to pay off. And so they sold off the loyalty program part of SkyMall. It's gone. And they end up paying off this loan.
Well, unfortunately, SkyMall continues to decline.
Yes. The following year, their sales dropped to $15.8 million. They don't have the loyalty program anymore. The changing rules in airlines had really affected SkyMall because now people were using ebook readers and tablets and smartphones rather than flipping through the crazy stuff that was in SkyMall magazine. So this was the beginning of the end. You had a lot of airlines that decided once the contract was up to carry SkyMall that they weren't going to renew that contract.
Well, and not only that, but SkyMall ended up owing these airlines a lot of money.
Yep. They ended up in their bankruptcy filing. They listed debts to Delta for $1.5 million, American Airlines for $1.6 million, Southwest was $400,000, and United Airlines $300,000. And then we have Exhibit. So at the time of the merger, Exhibit reported that it had done about $9 million in revenue. So a fraction of what SkyMall was doing. But then again, they were also only selling weight loss supplements and colon cleansers. Yeah. So while SkyMall, even when it was struggling, it was bringing in way more money than Exhibit Corporation. And yet, according to the merger deal, Exhibit, and look, I spelled it the wrong way. Exhibit got 60% of the merged company and SkyMall got 40%.
Wow.
So you're like, wait a minute. So SkyMall's bringing in the vast majority of revenue, but it gets the minority stake in the merged company.
Well, and by the time they filed for bankruptcy, SkyMall was the only operating division in Exhibit.
Yeah, the colon cleansers got cleaned out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jonathan.
It's a poopy thing to do. But yeah, no, SkyMall was, that was it. That was the only business Exhibit Corporation was doing. And it was clear that things had gone wrong. So if, like, we don't know what the actual strategy was at Exhibit Corporation. If the strategy was to drive up the perceived value of Exhibit Corporation and then get the heck out of Dodge, it didn't. Things collapsed too quickly for that to happen. If that was the plan. We don't know if that was the plan. Maybe they were sincere on the up and up the whole time, but there were a lot of red flags to worry about.
Yeah.
So then in the spring of 2015, the bankruptcy court ends up having an auction of the assets and auctions off SkyMall magazine, and another company called CNA Marketing purchases it for $1.9 million.
CNA Marketing operates photo chans like Ritz and Wolf.
Yep.
And it licensed Polaroid. I guess that's the one that most people would be familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't know what Ritz and Wolf are, I mean, I don't blame you because that's, you know, the photo industry is also one that is largely mothballed at this point. So CNA would then use SkyMall's Twitter handle to send little messages that indicated that SkyMall would soon be back.
Yay!
Yeah. Sure enough, it did come back a little bit because the online store came back. And the folks over at CNA Marketing said their plan was to get back into planes.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as of the recording of this podcast, has yet to happen.
Now, I was on a plane, I think in the past year or two, where I could swear there was a SkyMall catalog, but it also could have been somebody punking me.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible that, but it's like nowhere when I was doing research could I find any indication that it was coming back and had been back in airplanes. Now, that's not to say that it hasn't. It might have, and it skipped my attention. But yeah, the website's still around. You can buy stuff off the website. I looked. Yeti's not there.
Aww.
You can't buy your Bigfoot Yeti online.
I'm sad. I'll have to drown my sorrows in a wine bottle carried by a butler statue.
Right. Well, thank goodness you got that before SkyMall went under. But the lessons we would tell you about in this particular episode, I think part of it is just that obviously business models can change dramatically. Mm-hmm. And we saw that early on with SkyMall, where they had to make a business model change or else they would have collapsed before they got started.
Yeah.
But then the emergence of things like the competing sources of attention or demands on attention, I should say, within an airplane meant that sticking with the airplane method of distributing your magazine was not going to sustain it.
Yeah, and those were out of their control.
Yeah, and then the emergence of things like Amazon and eBay meant that online stores were going to be far more difficult to manage and be competitive. Mm-hmm. So in a way, you could say that SkyMall was muscled out just because of a changing market. But on top of that, this crazy Exhibit Corporation merger story, which is it's hard to say that you draw a lesson from that other than as an investor, it's really good to do research on the company before you invest.
You don't want to be a part of that pump and dump mess.
No. You don't want to be like, well, as long as I get out before it collapses, I'm fine, because that just means you're exacerbating a problem. Mm-hmm. So, do research on companies and be a responsible investor. And then next time you fly, pour out a ginger ale for SkyMall.
Well, this was a really interesting story, Jonathan. Thank you for all of the research you've done on it.
Well, it's no Lisa Frank, but I figured I could try and tackle it.
And thanks, Al, again for the great suggestion.
Yeah, you've given us a lot of suggestions, so I'm sure we're going to tackle some more of them in future episodes. But let's say that we've got somebody out there who is just itching to hear us talk about Hello Kitty. How would they get in touch with us?
Well, they could email us at feedback@thebrinkpodcast.show.
I look forward to getting that Hello Kitty email.
Me too.
Yeah, you can also go to our website. That's thebrinkpodcast.show. That has a list of all of our previously published episodes, plus information about your beloved hosts. Speaking of which, I have been Jonathan Strickland.
And I've been Ariel Kasten.
Business on the Brink is a production of iHeartRadio and How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.